Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 103, back on The Fan. It's Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, BT and Sal here. 877-337-6666. A lot of the Met stuff today has been pretty interesting. Met fans obviously pumped up. Sal and I try to decipher what's real. All right, so I think many of us, I know, Sal, you don't play a ton of golf. I think many of us have been here, though, or at least you don't play as much as you once did. You know, with different responsibilities. Your daughter just turned three today. Happy birthday, by the way, to her.
Thank you.
To Sammy. So, you know, I've been there where, and I'm nothing special on the golf course at all, but I've been there where I walk off a hole, I'm like, oof, boy, I'll take the bogey there. That very easily could have been a seven. Like, I scull the chip and it hits the flag and it kind of stays in the vicinity of the pin. Or, you know, I hit a 20-foot bogey putt when in reality it could have been looking at a seven or double. You know, you rifle one that's going out of bounds, it bangs off a tree, goes in the fairway off the tee. Like, I kind of feel like the Mets right now, this winning streak that they're on, I'm not trying to discredit. You are what you are. You do what you do. You win, you lose. I get it. But I feel like they're getting some very interesting pars that will not sustain itself for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're better than what I thought that they were coming into the year and through the first six games. But I also don't think they're as good as what we've seen over the last 10 games and winning these series. Again, they've shown some resiliency. They've shown some grit. And Doug on Long Island was right. I said that they were tough. Maybe that's not the right word to use. Resilient, scrappy, you know, they play hard. They play with energy. But they do need to show a level of toughness that they have not. Because he's right. It wasn't just about the 0-5 start. It was also about the Rhys Hoskins stuff where the Mets got punked again and did nothing about it. And what they did do is, you know, a day late and a dollar short, throw behind the guy. The manager gets suspended. The pitcher gets, like, in typical Met fashion. Those are things that just happened not too long ago. I can move on from those things. I'm trying to. And the team is slowly but surely winning me over. However, there's a long way to go before I'm sold on this team one way or another definitively. I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know how bad they're going to be. I do think it's going to be somewhere in between what we've seen from the start and what we've seen over the last 10 games.
So it's just kind of missing the playoffs right now if you had to take a real
guess. Yeah, I still think a 500 team.
All right,
I think it's fun all year long. Like, keep it in, you know, keep have a season, keep themselves in the conversation for a playoff spot. Ultimately, I think they'll fall short.
I do feel like they're starting to get, it's early, but a little rooting in the, not just the character, but the culture, you know?
And that's a good thing.
You know, that's a great thing. I think that they're going to kind of resemble those 2020 Knicks where they gave you or might give you an unexpectedly fun season, an unexpectedly good fun, successful season with limits, and then when it gets snuffed out in sobering fashion. Like, for all that, as much fun as 2020 was, I mean, it ended with just a thunderous thud, but with Trae Young just playing us like a bunch of, like a fiddle. So you take that, you do, because it's better than nothing, but how many of those Knicks from 2020 are still here? Randall's still here. It's about it.
What do you think the Mets' current odds are to make the postseason right now?
Not
that it's the be-all, end-all, but it is a good barometer generally.
Yeah, I would say, boy, I didn't even really think about it in those terms. I would say, 9 to 1.
So that would be what, plus 900?
Something like that. No. You know, I'd probably have to bring it down a little bit. That seems a little bit nuts with the wild card. Plus 700?
Plus 265. I thought it was going to be a little bit better after winning.
Huh.
Plus 265.
That's pretty good.
For meaning you like to bet and make money or for them?
No, for the other way. Like, I would think you'd have a chance to make a lot more money. I don't see the Mets as a playoff team. Like, yeah. 265, I mean, it's not some exorbitant odds. It's not like, hey, I'm going to lead, you know, I'm in a great spot, but it's not like it's plus 490.
Right.
Think about that. Think about when you bet an NFL game,
right on, yeah.
A dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, or you may be doing like a five-team parlay. You want to, you know, work in a hangar so you take a back when the Patriots were amazing. Patriots minus 390 against the Jets. You just take them on the money line, and then you do some other point spreads to kind of juice it up a little bit. But you want to at least, you know, bake in a win or two that you think is a guarantee. Like plus 270-something?
Well, plus 265.
It's crazy. So it's 265?
Almost 2.5 to 1. Think about what you're saying, though. 9 to 1.
Yeah, like, that was ridiculous.
Wouldn't you bet? But even 5 to 1, you'd probably bet the Mets to be a playoff team just because of the odds.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, I thought, just based on the odds, that it would probably be less, like maybe plus 150, let's say.
No.
Not that I
That's close to even money.
Yeah, not that I would. Yeah, but why wouldn't they be? Why wouldn't that be the case?
Because I think most people know that they're not that good.
Fair enough. That's fair. But, I you know, 265 is then telling where they should be really even money or close to that if you're a real playoff team or favorites to go there. Not plus 265, almost 3 to 1 to make the postseason in a spot where almost everybody makes the postseason.
I wonder what they would be if they didn't have the additional wild card.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, now you're talking about plus 370, maybe plus 4 change, something like that. Nick is down in St. Augustine, Florida. He's got us up on the Free Odyssey app. By the way, if you guys missed anything, just hit a little rewind, get yourself up to speed. Nick, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal.
Hey, guys. Man, I love the app. I always rewind it, listen to the whole show if I don't catch it from the start.
Fantastic.
But, Mets fan, wasn't even going to watch this year, and after the first 5 games, every time I lost, I said, that's why I'm not watching.
Wait, but hold on a second, Nick. Hold on a second, buddy.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
So, I understand that, like, once the reality, although it's changed, you're 0-5, you're like, oh, this team's awful. But to say that before the season, now, are you just saying that to say that? Or, there's no way you weren't going
to
watch
anything. To myself, I'm not going to work it into my schedule. If I have time, fine. But I used to work it into the schedule, make sure I watch it, put it on my phone if I'm somewhere else. I'm like, you know what? Stevie Cohen's taking off this year a little bit. I'm going to take off a little bit.
Right.
I wanted to talk about Bader. You know, guys like that, you know, if you look at the 96 Yankees and go to 2000, they were great. The best thing about them was someone always came up clutch. They didn't even always hit. No one hit over 30 home runs. I think they had 2 players over those 4 years hit 30 home runs. Once Tino, once Bernie.
Tino and Bernie, correct. Yes.
Yes. So, like, it's just about clutch hitting. I couldn't care if Bader hits 250 all year, but if he could come up in big spots like that and continue to get hits and all the other guys could do that, that's what made the Yankees great. It's like everyone that came up, you were like, damn, this guy's going to get a hit, and then he got a hit. I know, as a Mets fan, I used to watch it. I used to hate it, but they were great. Like, you know?
But Nick, let me throw this at you. Yeah. Now, that's pretty interesting. The presence of those role players, and we all know who they are, you know, for the Yankees back in the day, were they more effective because the stars made the opposing pitchers grind? Like, if Lindor and Nimmo and Pete, if they have big, big seasons, yeah, McNeil, lesser extent, whatever, then the role players will be, their presence could be amplified. But if Lindor has the down season, I don't think it really matters as much. He's got to do his job.
Yeah, they need Lindor to get going. They're just not deep enough offensively. Although I will say, BT, that I like the way that the Mets are built. Not that I love the lineup, but I like the idea of building a mid-level rotation, maybe not even mid-level, but you get the point. Like,
well,
whatever.
So far, statistically, it's better than mid-level.
I know, but
I know what you mean.
Right, and then a solid bullpen,
mm-hmm.
And I would build a better lineup, and I think their goal is to eventually build a better lineup, but that's the meat of your team should be the everyday lineup. And I always was of the belief you get the top-heavy pitching and go from there. And we've seen the sport evolve, and now we've seen with the pitchers, with the injuries, with the amount of money that pitching costs, like, this is the way to do it. Going into the year, the biggest knock on the Mets was not the lineup, although I think you and I didn't like, we didn't love the lineup
in
the core.
No. But
that's
not
a different
terrible.
Conversation.
We thought if they were going to win, they were going to have to outslug some people.
Correct, because of the pitching.
Yes.
And that means that, hey, they didn't do enough with the pitching coming in. But this, to me, is probably the way that you should build a team moving forward. Now, remember, they get Senga back. Maybe they'll be a little bit better. Would you like one legit ace? Sure, but it doesn't need to be ridiculous with the rotation. You build some guys that could just give you a solid 5-6 innings every fifth day. And if you have that, they'll keep you in bowl games.
Like the Rangers last year.
I mean, that's kind of the point.
There
like, that's the way that you build the team. Stearns, you know, maybe on to something. You did it with Milwaukee, however they did it. I know they had, you know, Burns or whatever, Woodruff at certain points. But I'm not saying you don't want good pitchers. I'm saying the way to build a team is to make sure your lineup is the bulk of your team, is the strength of your team, and then you can maybe succeed with a decent rotation as opposed to a, you know, Scherzer, DeGrom, Verlander type rotation.
I could even make the case, provided they're serviceable and not horrendous. I'm talking about, you know, just in general, not the Mets here, but I could make the case that the starting staff could be third. Like, big time lineup, real deep, versatile bullpen.
Solid defense.
For sure, you want to catch the ball. You don't want to give the extra outs away. That's huge.
Especially with those subpar pitching. You know, if you're going to have guys who are going to strike out 200 guys.
That's a good point. But, like, I don't know how. I kind of agree with you because if starting pitching's been marginalized, and it has been based on how few guys go 200 innings, how few pitchers are permitted to go third time through the lineup. Mm-hmm. Pitch counts obviously determining what the next move is, all the numbers being spit out by the computers. Like, why would you construct a staff of two or three high-priced, you know, and not to mention the fragility of the arms.
That's the biggest thing.
You might be right.
You're investing 40-plus million. Now, it took me years to get to this point, but I don't even think that there's a hesitation anymore. This is the right way to build a team. You do it with the lineup first, and then, you know, see what you can get on one-year deals or whatever may be in the rotation.
Let me get Mike in Ramtown, BT and Sal. Mike, what's happening, Mikey?
Hey, Sal, BT, how you guys doing?
What's up, Mike?
We're good.
Hey, just wanted to say, first of all, happy birthday to Sammy.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And now I have a couple bones to pick with you. If you can hold off the dump button.
No, I will, because you hit me with the birthday first. So you've got a nice grace period now. Go ahead.
Real quick. So I know your Soto take with the lack of aggressiveness, as you say. How do you score runs? You don't score runs if you don't get on base.
Well,
I don't care if it's a walk. I don't care if it's a walk.
Well, you could score runs without getting on base. You hit a home run.
Well, yeah, that's still getting on base.
And by the way, not getting on base. All I said was a walk is not as good as a hit. And by the way, let's not let this get out of control. I said in that one particular at-bat with the game on the line, first and second, down three, that's a spot where Soto, I wanted to see a little more aggression and do some damage, and he was more than happy to take the walk. And then he followed up over the weekend by saying his job is to literally get on in front of Judge. If that's the case, then I personally would not want to pay that guy $506 million. $600 million.
Okay, agreed, but I would not swing out of a pitch that's not in my zone just because of the situation in the game.
Understood.
That's going out of your element.
Understood, but there are certain spots where I want more aggression. That was one of them. If you have two.
Agreed. Okay, I can agree with that.
I'm not saying he should be getting himself out all the time. I'm saying in that particular spot, with Judge struggling, and by the way, it plays on my point before, saying that he's better with the Yankees because he's got arguably the best hitter in baseball behind him, and then it's okay if you're going to be ultimately passive and extremely selective, which is a great quality. I understand that. In that one spot, I would have liked to see a little more aggression. That's all.
Okay, you know what? I think you enunciated. I think you phrased that better than I've heard before. That I will agree with. However, the one other thing, and nicely, so you don't want the next best player in baseball for the next 10 years because you have to overpay him by $50 million?
Well, we don't know.
I'm a Mets fan. I want the guy. I don't care if Cohen pays an extra $50 million, $550 million.
Yeah. Well, what about $200 million more or $100 million more? I mean, that's, we don't know what it's going to cost. And it's not that I don't want him, Mike. It's that if you're paying, you know, BT, what's your knock on the Mets right now, your biggest critique, we went over this last week, the main reason why you think they can't be legitimate. You said it last week. The main reason why you don't think the Mets can be a legitimate team or do any damage or playoff team, whatever.
I don't think that their stars are
correct,
what they need to be.
Correct. So if you're paying somebody to $5 million, $6 million, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Juan Soto's not coming here to be a guy. He's coming here to the Mets, in this hypothetical, mm-hmm. to be the guy. The guy. That means that he's the guy that you want up in the big spot to drive in runs, to be the run producer. I know the greatness of walks, but it's not, well, my job is to come here and get on base for Alonso. No, you're better than Alonso. You're the guy that guys get on in front of that you then need to drive in. That's my hesitation. And by the way, I love Juan Soto. I've loved him before anybody else here because I watched him specifically in 2019 because I bet on the Nationals and fell in love with him as a young kid against those Dodgers and in the postseason on the run that he went on. And you couldn't do anything better. But it wasn't because he was walking. It was because he was hitting in key spots. I'm not saying he's always looking for walks. You're right. He's staying true to who he is. Ultra disciplined, you know, smart with the strike zone. However, there are certain moments, the other night against the Marlins was one of them from the Yankees, and there are going to be plenty if, in fact, he goes to the Mets, where he's going to need to be the guy to do damage. And if that means extending a little bit, like swinging at a pitch in the strike zone that you could hit, then that's what I want, especially if you're the Mets who's paying somebody $600 million to be the superstar on this team.
All right, so you know how I disagree, so let me at least paint it with something fresh rather than just regurgitate him, because it's an approach thing. I don't want him to deviate from that.
You would be okay with that, though, with the Mets? I know his approach, but like from a Mets perspective, you're spending that much on him to be this.
Here's my answer. I don't isolate it to one at bat, because I guess I'm more
long-term
enthralled
approach
with his process, right, which I believe is just amazing. So let me take Jalen Brunson for a second here.
Yeah.
Okay. We know Jalen Brunson's the man for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson's going to get a lot. He's not going to win it, but he's going to get a lot of MVP votes this year. Let's say Philly advances. We get the 2-7 matchup, game one Saturday at the Garden. And Brunson, and you know they're going to always run double teams at him, try to keep the ball out of his hand, blah, blah, blah. But let's just say they do something even more exotic and it is just hard to get shots off. There is no daylight. You got to, whether it's Embiid as a big or another big, like a lanky player running at him, there's just no space for Brunson to shoot. Would you rather have Brunson take bad shots because he's your best player or make the right play and pass it off to somebody that is not as good as Brunson but is open?
Here's my answer. Here's the best
pass the ball.
Here's the best way I could answer that. I don't care if Brunson is triple teamed. If it comes down to a final shot and I see Brunson pass the ball to DiVincenzo, I would freak out. I want to go down with Brunson in that particular spot. Good analogy. I still would rather go down with Brunson taking a shot than I would passing it to somebody less than him. Now, again, it's not apples to apples.
I know.
Here.
And again, I'm not saying not saying one-on-one coverage.
DiVincenzo taking that shot or Bogdanovich taking that shot?
Well, I don't know about Bogdanovich, but I'd rather have DiVincenzo or somebody else squaring up a wide open, whether it's OG in the corner, you know, Dante from wherever, top of the circle, from the wing in the corner,
and
McBride,
whatever.
If an open shot, which to me is not quite...
The superstar finds a way. You get him the ball, you let him go to work.
Yeah, but...
Ewing, it was get it down to the big fella. You don't want him to kick it out to anybody else.
Well, because the Knicks didn't have capable shooters outside of Starks, who was a little bit streaky. Everybody else was a bricklayer.
Nobody,
the Knicks have shooters.
Nobody that the Knicks have is as good as Jalen Brunson. How are you going to go down? How are you going down in the postseason without him? I'm talking about final possession here, which is similar to the at-bat that
Again, and you're right. It's not apples to apples. It's not a great comparison. But what I'm saying is I play to the numbers. Like, if I don't get a pitch that I can hit on the screws and square up and rip, I'm not swinging. And if Jalen Brunson's got to have like a twisting, contorting, off-balance three because two guys are in his face and another guy's running at him, pass the ball.
But situations...
I'll never change my philosophy on that.
Yeah, but sometimes situations...
I'll live with the result. I know the situation here is the situation here that I'm bringing up requires you to make the right play because the odds are better.
So if you're putting Juan Soto hypothetically in the Mets lineup with Lindor and Alonso, let's just say,
yep,
and this game is on the line, And Soto passes the baton because he didn't get a pitch that he wanted to hit to Lindor or Alonso. You're okay with that?
Yes.
Oh.
Then
why even bother?
And if not, well, first of all, the other thing that I incorporate that you, I know you know this, so I'm not saying you don't know this, but I think it's less important to you. Like, we're talking about one literal moment and other moments that will pop up this year, invariably for the Yankees, where I'm sure we'll get back to this discussion.
100%. So
we'll I get that. But to me, it's more about, like, the residual impact of Soto.
Okay, but in those moments...
But in those moments, you've got to react to what you get. That's like saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson's double team, man, but so-and-so's open. What do you want to do? Yeah, I'd like to see Garrett Wilson get the football,
but it's
not open.
It's a little different.
I know it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But it's not perfect, but it's still how I approach sports at this level. Now, if you're a little league and there's a couple of kids who just aren't yet capable of doing it, you got to swing, dude. Swing the bat, Joe.
Or here's the thing then. If you're from a Mets perspective, just understand what you're getting. Understand that there are going to be spots that you're going to want Soto to hit a three-run homer like I did for the Yankees the other night. If I'm a Yankee fan, I want Soto to hit a three-run homer, hit the ball down the line and drive in two runs. And get it.
I'm listening. I'm just pulling up the picture.
That's fine.
I'm listening.
I'm saying there are going to be spots that you're going to want him to do damage, and he's going to be more than happy to take his walk.
Now, we got a break here. I get that. Tell me honestly, because I have
There were two pitches in the at-bat that
I'm showing Sal right now, my iPhone. I'm showing him the actual screen and where every pitch was. How many balls do you think he could put in the seats?
There were at least three that he could have swung at.
Okay, the third one that is in the lower third of the outer portion of home plate, he either rolls it over and hits it to second, or he hits a seven hopper to short. I don't want him swinging at that.
There are three pitches.
There's really one pitch that you can maybe do damage to left center with.
Let me ask you something.
And it was the second pitch of the at-bat.
And did he swing at it?
But why would you be jumpy on pitch number two?
Oh, I'm looking to be aggressive and hit. That's what I'm saying.
We just see it
I'm just saying, we do. You can look at the things, and I know people say, oh, look at all these pitches. I watched the at-bat, and I'm telling you how I felt at the time. I saw a hitter who was being ultimately disciplined, watching the strike zone, all that stuff, didn't let the situation dictate anything, which you could look at as a strength. I looked at it in that particular spot
as a problem. Okay, so
in that one spot,
I would almost feel better about what you're saying if he was like a free swinging lunatic.
But then he would have swung at it.
No, but I'm saying, and then suddenly he didn't. He just deviated from his normal MO. Like, this is who he is.
I get it. That's what I'm saying. So you just have to learn
to
live with
every it. Oh, I am. And I'm loving it.
And
I will never criticize him for not swinging at a pitch he can't have.
Correct. And what I'm saying is I cannot live with that because there are certain spots I'm going to want more. And, you know, we're getting a chance to watch him now every day for the first time. As much as we watched him in the postseason.
No doubt. It's different. It's a different watch
and
every
I'm
night.
Just telling, this is an equal. This has nothing to do with Mets versus Yankees.
I know it doesn't.
This is me and my philosophy.
No, I get that.
Right.
But don't you think it says a lot more about Alonso, too? Because, like, to me, like, I'm cool with Soto's approach, and I'm cool with passing the baton to Judge. You're telling me, and you're volunteering that you don't want Alonso. You don't want him to pass the baton to Alonso.
No,
so,
I want.
Okay, so if that's the case, why the hell would you resign Alonso?
No, you would, but I want Soto to be the guy. I'm not paying him $500, $600 million to come here and defer to Alonso or Lindor or Alvarez or anybody else. Soto's got to be the star, like Aaron Judge is the star on the Yankees, not somebody who willingly says my job is to get on for Aaron Judge. Well, that's a quote. Don't kill me.
I get it. The other thing is, I don't care what he said. Yeah. Like, I care what he
that
does.
That doesn't mean anything to you?
Well, but sometimes, you know how we take quotes.
Did it,
we overreact.
And then he said it. I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that that's not his heart. I said to Sal the other day, I think
and
it was yesterday.
I love Soto. I don't want this to be.
I know you do.
I'm just saying that, after watching him close, I want to evaluate the whole season. That's just one spot. It's one at bat. It's nitpicky, sure.
Yep.
But it's one at bat that I would like to see.
When you're in line for $600 million, I'm not saying it's wrong to nitpick. I don't agree at all with how you nitpick, but nitpicking comes with the territory. If Jalen Brunson shoots 37% in the first round against Philly or Miami, and the Knicks lose, guess what? We're going to be nitpicking,
right?
Because here we are all year saying he's a superstar, he should get MVP. No, you got to do it. And you got to do it. 877-3.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
37-66-66. Sal's got to read.
Right here?
Sal, what do you got there? I believe so.
I thought it was the next break.
Oh, no, next one. I'm sorry. BT and Sal, I'm on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, the BT and Sal Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. Matt is in Tinton Falls on The Fan. Matty, what's cooking?
The amount of money Cohen's paying this season is over $350 million with the luxury tax. Next season, $250 million comes off the books. The Mets have a payroll of $120 million. So real quickly, they're coming back.
Ooh. Yeah, that little Soto.
It's going to happen. Cohen's not the Wilpons. Cohen's going to throw money at the team. And now we got the right GM to pick and choose those plays the right way on who's going to get those big contracts, including Soto.
Yeah, there
Matty,
Matt.
Matty,
it's catching on, BT. Mets fans are on fire today.
I don't know if I like that this is catching on. Matt, what about Pete?
Pete is no problem.
I'm not going to say the Yankees can't afford Soto. Yankees can afford anybody.
Yeah.
I just don't see the Yankees with the Cole contract and Judge and...
Trust me, Matt. You're wrong. Now, I don't know for sure. Thanks for the call.
I got to rethink things here, BT.
Yeah. That Soto's going to definitely, even though I say it, I believe he'll be here. I don't truly know what's in his heart. All I can give you is my opinion, and Sal his, on whether or not the Yankees come correct when they offer him a contract, and I believe that they will. And we'll see. We'll see. So...
trying to be level-headed here today. You got callers getting me going with the King Cullen and the Soto stuff.
Yeah, it's starting to infiltrate. All right.
I'm starting to get excited. Mets all of a sudden 500 team, little scrappy team, tough team, make the postseason maybe in the National League. And then the King pounces.
Yeah. Right over to the museum for some more philanthropic work. Yes, DVP. You know, this is why I met fans, and I love them, but I hate them. And as a Jet fan, I do this too. I get it.
Right, like, it's every fan base.
No, that's not true.
Oh, like, come on.
No, I'm talking about the fan bases of those that are historically down.
Well, what about the Yankees or Giants? Same thing.
It's a different energy, though, because what I mean is the Yankee fan doesn't overreact to a win or a week, and the Giant fan generally doesn't overreact
The Giant fan wins a couple of games, they think they're winning the Super Bowl because they've done it two times in recent history. Same thing with the Yankees. They win some games, and it's all about, this team's a World Series winning team.
It sounds different. Like, the Jets win a game, one game, things change. The
different
Mets
levels
win a series,
of delusion.
Things change. Yeah, but what I'm saying is the level of the Mets' delusion is the highest...
It feels higher for Jets and Mets.
They start rooting against you guys.
Because they don't win. It feels higher. But it's the same thing with the Jets and Giants. With the Giants and Yankees. By the way, which each of those teams, they haven't won squat in many years. I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah. I know
in recent memory and in comparison to the other losers in town, whether it's the Knicks, I mean, even the Rangers haven't won in 30 years, whoever it may be. Yeah, but still, the Yankees haven't won since 2009. Giants been a while as well. I mean,
I got a question for you. I don't know the answer. I don't even know if there is an answer. Might be nobody. What fan base is the most grounded? Like, which fan base? All the Devils, everybody.
Probably the Rangers.
All right, let me just plot this out. You might be right because that's the first team that went to my mind here. But which fan base deals with the highs somewhat rationally, absorbs the lows in a somewhat, you know, smart.
I would probably rank it Rangers, Yankees, 1-2.
Ranger. I think you gotta throw Devils in there. I do.
Yeah, fair enough. Where would they go, though? Over either of those two?
I think the Devils might go over the Yankees. I think some of these younger Yankee fans go nuts.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Could the Devils even go over the Rangers?
Yeah, they probably could, because there's some of that element of that, you know, that hunger that the Ranger fans are thirsting for that maybe hijacks their emotions.
Maybe we're just not paying enough attention to Devils fans.
Well, I mean, my son's one of them. I'm paying attention to Devils a little bit.
Level-headed.
I got to get him a jersey. The Devils have some guy by the name of Tierney on the team. Yeah, I got to get him a jersey. I don't know if he's going to be around for long, and I don't know enough about hockey.
That's great.
I'm like, is he going to be here for 2, 3, 4 years, or is he going to be here for 2, 3 months? I don't know.
Still, that one.
Somebody tweet me. Let me know if Tierney's going to be around.
Colt's not changing his name anytime soon, so you should be good to go.
That's true. But if he's, you know, if Tierney bounces, maybe I try to get Colt over to the Isles. I don't know. Well, he seems like, he's locked into his Devils. Him and his buddy Brody.
Hockey,
I'm not going to try to change
hockey,
him.
You could root for everybody.
That's
local.
True. Well, no, you can't. Well, what?
Well,
you can. You know what I mean? I mean, that's right. Who is the most grounded fan base? Have you been around a while? Me and Sal think maybe the Rangers, maybe the Devils.
I think the Nets.
Get out of here, the Nets. What are you kidding me?
I can't expect anything.
Wait, hold on. Before we dismiss it, let's jump on Dolph.
Evan and Keith, the Nets sign a player. It's like, oh my God, they're winning a championship.
I don't know if I agree with that. Like, you say Evan and Keith. I know that they are definitely Net fans on the station. I don't think that they're crazy in what they think is going to happen. I really
don't. What are you
talking
about,
Keith? I think Evan, if anything, Evan leans into the misery. I've heard Keith talk a lot more about the Yankees than the Nets, but I don't think Evan ever has this false, conviction that the Nets are anything more than they are. I think he's almost negative.
I think Net fans get so excited when something significant happens, and understandably so, but that it
peters out?
Yeah, it alters their reality.
You think so? I don't feel that way. Yeah. Hoff, do you have a submission? The most grounded fan base?
Oh, listen, I do think that Evan specifically is someone who does try to look at the positive. And the past couple of years where I've been disagreeing with him, he thought that, like, last year's lineup was one of the best in the league going into the season.
And For the Mets?
Yeah.
Because he mentioned the Nets and with Keith and Ev. I don't know. I think Evan's nuts in a million ways. I think he's kind of good with forecasting his teams. I think he's realistic, unlike many of you Met fans out there. He's actually a normal one.
I'd go Rangers 1. I admit I'm going to give the Devils an incomplete. I don't know how to grade them here because I'm not really, like, you know, I know some Devils fans, obviously, but it's,
you know what it is?
I don't know enough.
I think the Devils have won enough, so they certainly know, you know, what it looks right. But I also think they're comfortable enough in their winning and sometimes their rebuilding that I think they might be the most rational.
I think it's a good read. I think you have a good read. Maybe we'll put the Devils first.
Yeah.
I would go Rangers. Either way, I'd go Rangers, then Yankees.
Then maybe Isles. Maybe hockey fans are just better than everybody.
Nah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you're an Islander fan. How do you feel about the upcoming first round?
I think Islander fans are similar to Mets and Jets fans, myself.
Yeah, I actually can see that. Like the fatalistic feel.
Maybe not to that extent.
Not to that extent.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right, there's no way.
But I think I can't put them, I can't put them up
crazy
there
Bill.
High. I think it's probably Rangers, Devils, Rangers, Yanks, and then maybe everybody else in there.
Yeah, and the Mets are last, as I said.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 146 back on the Fan. BT and Sal. Brandon, Timmy, Sal Licata Show, 877-337-6666. So now that my partner is done kissing Spike Eskin's ass, have you at least saddled
Did
up
he leave
to the
yet?
Have you at least saddled up to your next target of affection, our new PD, Ryan Hurley.
No, it's your guy.
Well, it's our guy, so you gotta prove to him that you want to be here, buddy.
I met him.
He didn't bring you here.
I met him yesterday. And he was very nice, came into the office, very nice. You see, I love the fact that he's from Long Island, love the fact that he's a New York sports guy.
Hofstra guy.
Love the fact that he started as an intern just like I did, worked his way up, you know, albeit at a different station.
Sure.
But now he's at the
Mecca. He's at a real station now. Yeah, he's got to be bumped.
Now he's joined the party.
That's right.
Now he's officially.
I said, welcome to the bigs, baby.
Did you say that to him?
I texted it to him. And welcome to the bigs. And I meant it. He's a great guy. You're going to love him.
That is funny. He seems like a nice guy. But no, we haven't had time, you know, ample time to, you know, get acquainted yet. Got to let him know, you know.
You let him know what?
Certain things we do around here.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
We got to establish the template.
No, I'm a little.
He's a real one. Honestly, he's a great. Like Spike. You could talk to him like he's cool. He's different than Spike in a lot of ways, but. I know I said it yesterday, but congrats to Ryan. He has always wanted to be here, and we're happy to have him.
It's a major job. I told him, after we saw him in the meeting, I was walking out, and I saw his face on Twitter because the post tweeted out the article. I was like, oh, I just saw your face, bro. He's like, yeah, it's not a good thing. But,
Of course, Gio's already making fun of his hair.
Really?
Or it was saying he was heavy. I don't know. They were banging him around.
Oh,
they were just having some fun there.
It's a big deal, man. It's a major
job.
It
is a big deal when you go from having no job to a job.
Well, that is true.
That's
I don't care what job you go from.
I'm just messing around.
In this business.
Dude, you get hired at WFAN, you've made it. I know that sounds like a pat on the back, but it's the standard.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
And we'll see if he can keep the machine running here.
Oh, no, he's going to add to it. That's all I said. Get us simulcast. What did I tell him the first day? I said, get us on TV. That's the first thing.
You're out of your mind. First day, he's like, anything I can do for you guys, BT goes, yeah, get us a simulcast.
Right? That's right. Yeah, what did he say?
If he could do it.
He said, I'm going to try. Yeah. So there you go. The first day for Ryan Hurley, the new boss, is off to a great start.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's a Knicks fan.
He's a Knicks guy. He's a Mets guy.
Unlike that traitor, Jets. That's his ass is back in Philly.
That's right. The 2-7 matchup. Have fun losing if you even get to the 7 matchup if you beat Miami.
You know, Spike starts his new show today.
I know he does.
2 o'clock.
Are you going to become a P1 of the show?
No.
I don't know about that. I mean,
I'll catch some of the clips
Spike
on social
with everything over here. Yeah. It's like a lost puppy without his bone. Where's Spike?
I'm hurt. I still don't acknowledge him. I'm like, wait, Spike's not here today? Where is he?
I think he was here this morning, but I think he drove down. He left before we started our show. Hopefully, he hit a ton of traffic getting down to Philly.
You hope he's late for his first show?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
That's not
he's
nice.
He's a traitor. He's going down to Philly.
Yeah. He treated you well. He treated all of us well.
Oh, I don't care.
That's why
he's
so
cut
hurt.
Off now.
Wow.
He's Philly.
Just like that? That's it? He's dead to me?
100% dead
now,
to me.
Now, would you rather be Spike, who had to come in after Chernoff?
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, legendary Mark
I'd rather
Chernoff.
Be Ryan coming in after Spike.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody hates Spike.
Mike always used to tell me, you never want to be the guy... to replace the guy.
Yeah.
You want to be the guy to replace the guy who replaced the guy.
Well, let's be fair. Spike actually took the ratings and elevated them.
What Spike did,
you can prove he did a great job. Spike, but I'll say the perception, though, out-of-towner, crack boy, whatever
here,
they call them, Nepo,
years.
What did he say? Nepo, crack boy,
I'm
Nepo.
I'm not say that. Disgusting things.
I'm just saying, that's what. So right. Do I think that people are happy that Spike, or I do. I think that WFAN fans and listeners are happy that Spike's gone.
Spike had big shoes to fill in Charles.
Massive
and
shoes, legend.
To change and put the fan, you know, into the future, kind of change the direction of
and he did.
And now.
He's very smart. Spike's great at that stuff.
But it was only a couple years, and now he leaves, and now Ryan gets to come in, a nice cushy, cushy spot.
Yeah, I mean, cushy. Things are good so far.
Yeah, and now Spike goes to enemy territory. That's really what it comes down to. He's an enemy now.
He is. I'm a little surprised by you, though, because he treated you well. He took you under his wing.
I love Spike.
And Spike's
dead. He's in Philly.
Yo, you said you hope he's late for.
I'll tell you this.
I
don't know who's a better PD, but I know this. Ryan would kick Spike's little scrawny ass.
Oh, with one pinky, he would.
Not only because he's from Long Island in New York.
Yeah. Now, Hurley was a scrapper back in the day. Hurley wasn't afraid to mix it up. Hurley's got that Irish streak in him. Hurley's a tough guy. You know, now he's refined. He's corporate Hurley.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, I know him 20 years. I know Hurls.
You got the dirt on him.
No, there's not a whole lot of dirt. It's really not. But I you know, he's. I get it.
I want a scouting report. Give me a scouting report.
Ask me anything you want. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Ask me on the air. I'll give you the honest answer.
Is he going
to
be upset that we're not going to call
here? Listen, if Boomer and Gio talk about him, and I actually know him for 20 years, let's talk about
what does he drink? Because I need to know for Christmas.
I think he's more of a beer scotch guy. I haven't drank with him in a while.
Okay.
Some early days back in the day. I'm going to say beer and scotch. Probably still in that
window.
What teams
did he grow up rooting
for? He's a Mets guy. He's a Jets guy. He's
Mets, Jets,
went
Islanders?
To Hofstra. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's a big hockey guy. I don't think he's a big hockey guy.
Okay, all right.
What else you need to know?
Fit right in.
How does he react when things go wrong?
He's got. I think he's got a good temperament. I think he's strong. I don't know if he's afraid of anybody to put them in their place, which is good.
Like Boomer.
He'll put Boomer's place if he has to.
Whoa.
I mean, no, not with respect. Whoa. With respect.
What about you? You think he's going to be
100%? He's going
to
treat me like everybody else, just because I know him. Mm. You know, just because I got him the job.
I got to be honest. I'm a little bit worried about that.
Just because I opened the door for him here and I got him hired. Why?
Yeah, it's like we're players on a team, and then you got your coach hired.
Well.
My guy's gone. My guy went to Philly.
Nah, don't drown. I'll tell you this.
I feel under man now.
I'll tell you this. When Ryan and others were first going through the process, and I knew a few of the other candidates, but I don't know them well. I know for a fact. I could tell you two things about Ryan. I tell you a lot, but I'm going to leave it at this. Number one, always wanted to be here. Reveres FAN.
Right.
Fell asleep to it like we all did.
Yep.
And number two, loves what you and I do.
You mean as a show?
Loves what we do as a show.
Good enough for me. Yeah.
That's all you need to know. You feel better about this now?
No, I'm just joking around. Yes, I do.
He's a great guy, and he loves radio, and he's smart. So welcome to the Fan again, Hurls. Great to have you, buddy. 877-337-6666. Stevie B, what is this about? Anthony's in Old Bridge. What up, Ant?
Yeah.
Yo.
BT.
Yes.
I am so disappointed in you.
What did I mess up? I messed up something with Stevie B?
What? I'm ready to revoke your Brooklyn card.
What did I do wrong? That's a serious statement.
How is somebody our age that grew up in Brooklyn?
What did I mess up?
Stevie B does not sing Diamond Girl.
Who sings Diamond Girl?
Nice and Wild. Stevie B is a part of your body.
Well, I know part of your body. I know that. Yes. Did I mess up the song?
Who sings Diamond Girl?
I don't think I can run from this.
Nice and Wild.
I may have messed this up. Now, how old are you?
52.
All right, we're just about the same age. The difference is,
and I'm a Marine Park guy too.
But I didn't go clubbing. Like I was a bar guy, so like I just happened to like some of those songs. You know, I messed up. My bad.
All right,
you've been saying it for 3 weeks.
I know. I was. This show is
very confident over Stevie B.
Yeah. I don't like this.
It's been driving me crazy for a couple of weeks. I finally got through. You guys are my favorite show. I listen every day on my work van.
Yeah.
And every time Diamond Girl comes on, and you're saying Stevie B,
so does that mean we need a new song? This.
No. Listen, Ann. Would you look at this?
Stevie B, Diamond Girl. Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
Nice and Wild.
Well,
but when I go to, when I go, Alexa, not that I do it that often, I'm trying to be a little more current than living in 1985, even though a large part of me would be happy living back in 85. When I say, Alexa, play Diamond Girl by Stevie B, it plays it.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they're not totally up on it.
I don't know if you're up on it.
Oh, now I'm confused.
I got to be honest with you.
Thank you for the call.
I found Seals and Croft.
No. That's from the
Seal,
70s.
Yeah, Seal does Kiss from a Rose. Yeah.
Not that yet. Seals, that is actually, they remade the, it sounds very different. It's slower. The Seals and Croft one was the first one.
Diamond Girl, another version
of
it?
It's like this, Diamond Girl. It's totally opposite of this one.
Didn't you say you used to break dance to this one?
I did.
Yeah, so you would know it.
But I thought I had it right.
Do you? Because you're playing a Stevie B song.
I don't know this stuff, but I see all over the place it's Stevie B.
Yes.
I played the song that said on the title, Stevie B.
You're my diamond girl.
Okay.
You're my diamond girl.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know Stevie B from Stevie P or Diamond Girl this or that. I mean, I have no idea. So I'm not going to fact check it. I just trusted you.
I mean... I got to resolve this here because if I'm wrong, I mean, Stevie B.
Well, I did find a Nice and Wild, too.
Yeah, I know.
I found like three different
Stevie
versions.
B, top songs.
It seems like you're confused by this theme.
I'm not. I thought I had it.
Stevie P, Stevie B. I want to be the I'm one. Sure I know that talking one. About here.
Love and Emotion. I remember these song, Funky Melody. That
I know
later.
There's one song that there is no confusion.
What's going on?
The King! King Cohen! This theme is undeniable, and it will return. Stay tuned, Met fans. Yankee fans, too. Stay tuned. The King will again rise.
Yeah, he'll rise. Man,
gone
up.
Until November. Why Clef John? Gone until November. Remember that?
Yeah, November yeah. Rain, Guns N' Roses.
There you go. Yeah, I like
here
it.
Here you
right.
go. Stevie B. Diamond Girl. I mean, I don't know what's wrong. Like, do you not see that? Stevie B. Diamond Girl.
That's what he looks like?
Well, I mean, that's how everybody looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody looked back then a little bit.
No, it's
I don't
what I
know
picture.
What to tell you.
No. All right.
I mean,
and can we take a call or are we done for the day?
I'd like to resolve this, but I'll take a call. Paul's in Newark. Paul, BT and Sal, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, guy? How you Help. Been?
Help. What's up, Paul?
What's going on, Sal?
Yeah.
I agree with you on the photo approach. He should be more aggressive, but, you know, like they've been talking on the telecast, that Michael K. say Soto's not going to deviate from his approach at the plate.
Understood. So, no, I get it. I get it, Paul. And then, but I don't
but
have to
in,
like
in
it.
In retrospect, I agree with BC because he the way if he has Judge behind him, you know,
yeah, you gotta let the big boy swing the wood. Understood. Sometimes you gotta let the big boy swing the wood.
Yeah. Or I guess you like to have the big boy sit there and hold the wood. Yeah, I don't want to hold the wood.
It's good. Although you were willing to hold Piazza's. So which one is
it's a
it?
Different time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it depends. All right, let's get out of here. All right, we got a bounce. We got Evan and Tiki coming up next. BT and Sal saying we will see you tomorrow.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.